but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Do you notice in there that three times God tells Joshua to be strong and courageous? Courage was not a suggestion to Joshua. God wasn't saying, well, if you feel like it, courage would be okay. No, it was a commandment. God said, be courageous. The first point I want to make today as I'm sharing this with you is that God requires courage that is rooted in His presence. The courage, the power of the courage comes from being in His presence. Joshua, at this particular moment, was facing an absolutely impossible task. Joshua had to fill the shoes of Moses. Moses had confronted Pharaoh. Moses had parted the Red Sea. Moses had received the Ten Commandments. Now Joshua was expected to lead millions of Israelites into enemy territory. Can you imagine the fear? Can you imagine what the other people were thinking? You want us to go there. Why? The source of Joshua's courage, I submit to you today, was not Joshua. The source of Joshua's courage was God. Amen. What God requires of you and I, and Joshua in this moment, is that God requires us to believe His presence is greater than our problems. Have you ever felt that you've got to a point in your daily life that your problems far outweigh any peace that you have, and you can't figure out a way, how do I get through this? What can I do? And we end up crying out, God, help me. I don't know what to do. How many times has that happened to you? Look at the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, 5 and 6. For He Himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? God requires to believe His presence is greater than our problem. And that lies the problem. Because sometimes we let that fear get so indwelled inside of us, we can't see past it. It's impossible through man's ways, but nothing is impossible for God. We need to allow His presence to speak to our heart. Amen? When God is with us, we can move forward even when circumstances seem impossible. Isn't that a good feeling? That we can move through things that seem logically impossible because God leads us through it. Now, I want to give you some applications today to your own walk and to your own life. First one, courage comes from God's presence. We just mentioned that. Let me talk about fear for a moment. Fear grows when we focus on our circumstances. The more we focus on our circumstances, the more the fear, natural tendency, starts to grow inside of us. Listen to this. Faith grows when we focus on God's promises. God's promises can be found throughout the Scriptures, and He reassures us. God requires courage. This is my second point, to obey His word. Notice that God connects courage with obedience. Back again in Joshua 1:7, only be strong and very courageous that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. Many people think that courage means bold actions. But I'm here to tell you that God says courage means obedient actions. There's a difference. Sometimes it takes more courage to obey God than to fight a battle. Sometimes there's something inside of us, it takes a lot more courage to obey God than it does to actually fight the battle. Let me give you some examples of that in practical life today. It takes courage to forgive those who hurt you. That takes courage to do that. It takes courage in our society today to stand for righteousness. It takes courage to tell the truth. Know the truth, and the truth will set you free. It takes courage to refuse compromise. I'll give you an example of that. Recently, we had Major League Baseball, the Pride Night, where the players decided they would put a Christian scripture on there. Think about that. They refused to compromise their faith. Good for them. Because they were based on truth. God's word is truth. And here's another example. It takes courage to be a witness for Christ. That takes courage. Jesus said, "They hated me first, and they will hate you too." It takes courage to be a witness for Jesus Christ. Now, Daniel, in the book of Daniel, is a good example. In Daniel 3, verses 16 through 18, let's read it. "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, 'Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor we will worship the gold image which you have set up.'" They obeyed God even if it cost them their lives. That is courage. That is courage. And here's what God requires. God requires courage that obeys his word regardless of the consequences. But God, if I do that, this is going to happen. But I don't know. God, are you sure? God is saying to trust us and be obedient to his word. That is so important. Here's my third point I want to make today. God requires us to take courage to meditate on his word. He requires the courage to meditate on his word. Now, what do you mean by that? Well, let's look at Joshua again. Joshua 1, verse 8. "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it." Joshua's strength, and the same strength for you and I, would not come from military strength. It would come from God's word, scripture. It would come from the Lord's words. The word of God does something very powerful. You know what the word of God does? It produces faith. Amen. It produces faith. Look at Romans 10:17. It's on our marquee. It's on our marquee every time we walk into the church. So then faith comes by hearing, and what? Hearing by the word of God. Do you know what fear feeds on? Fear feeds on uncertainty. Uncertainty, skepticism. That's what fear feeds on. Faith feeds on God's word. You get it? Fear feeds on uncertainty, but faith feeds on God's word. Let's look at King David. Let's look at David's testimony in Psalm 119, 105. "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." The Bible does not always reveal the entire journey. It reveals the next step. God is saying, step out in faith. Step out on the water with me. I'll walk you through this. And what does God require? God requires us as believers to fill our minds with his truth rather than the world's fear. And how often do we find ourselves in that never-ending circle going back? You have no idea the problems I've got. You have no idea I'm really going through this right now. Will you pray with me? Yeah, and next week again. That problem's still there. Will you pray? No, what God is saying is that believe and obey in him and trust him. Don't worry about the consequences. Trust him. He'll walk you through it. You know, I think the greatest thing about our God is that when we are facing the absolute cliff and we can't make that next step, God is saying, "I'm right here. I'm going to catch you. I'm here. I'll get you through this." Our God is faithful. He's never failed. I love this analogy. I do it often with people when I have my Bible with me, if I'm witnessing or if I'm talking to a new group of people. I'll say, you know, there's a lot of gods out there in the world that people like to worship, but I'm here to tell you that it's like a good coach of a baseball team. A good coach knows what to do. He teaches his players on how to do this, 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 and this. I've got a coach who's never lost a game. He's undefeated. That's my playbook. It's right here. It's called the Bible. It's the living word of God. Why do I have to walk in fear if I have God's word and hope? What can man do to me? Right? Is this making sense? I mean, yeah, okay, good. Here's the next point. God requires courage to face the giants. Before Joshua became leader, he was one of the 12 spies, right? We know the story of Caleb. 10 spies saw giants. And what happened? They surrendered to fear. Oh, there's giants in the land. What do we do? Joshua saw giants, but guess what? Joshua trusted God. The report of Joshua and Caleb can be found in the book of Numbers, chapter 14, verses 8 through 9. If the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into the land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. The giants were real, but God was greater. Amen. So what are your giants today? What are you facing? Are you facing financial difficulties right now? How about family struggles? How about health challenges? A lot of us have health challenges. How about spiritual warfare? That's real, isn't it? Happens every day. What about national uncertainty right now? What's going on in the world? We're in another war. We're hearing rumors of wars. What's going to happen? The question is not whether the giants exist. They do. The question is whether we trust God more than we fear the giants. Okay? We need to get that perspective there. God requires you and I, all of us, to see our challenges through the lens of His power. Don't look at it from the logical, carnal sense that we tend to say, oh, I've got the answer to this. I know what to do. God is the one that has the answer. So we need to look through the lens of His power. Where do we find that? We go into His Word and we meditate on it morning, noon, and night. And that brings us to the fifth area I want to talk about today. God requires courage to step forward in faith. We've already said Romans 10:17, right? Then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by what? The Word of God. The Jordan River stood between Israel and the Promised Land. If you remember the story with Joshua, what was happening there is he had millions of Israelites, and there was this river called the Jordan River that was standing in their way before they could go into the Promised Land. Now, some historians, it's never been documented exactly, but they feel that the Jordan River at that time was flooded. It was at flood stage. And the first thing that was going to have to happen, you can imagine you've got all, like an army behind you, millions of people, they're going to have to get their feet wet. They're going to have to get in the water to get across it. They didn't have a bridge. They had to cross the Jordan River. And normally with the Israelites, what went first? The Ark of the Covenant. So the Levites, the priests, they would have to go in first and carry the Ark of the Covenant. Can you imagine they're standing over there going, wait, we've got to go down in there. I don't think so. I didn't sign up for this. Somebody else take it. You go across the river there too. That's what was happening. God could have dried it up before they arrived, right? He could have dried the river up, but instead, he required a step of faith. He said, I want to see you get your feet wet. Do you trust me more than your fears? Is that what he's asking you and I today? Do you trust me more than your fears? I know that mountain right now seems like it's impassable. I know that river looks like it's too high. I know that difficulty in your life seems like it's hopeless, but it's not. Trust me. That's what he's saying to us. Look at Joshua 3:13. Said, and it shall come to pass as soon as the soles of their feet of the priests who bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of the Jordan, that the waters of the Jordan shall be cut off. The river did not part first. The priest stepped first. You get it? So he wanted to test their faith before. And that's what he does with us each and every day. We've got a great God that we serve. He's a lot wiser than you and I. Many Christians around us, they want the blessing before obedience. Bless me, Lord. I'll try harder. They want the blessing before obedience. How about we want the miracle before we have the faith that the miracle can actually take place? I want a miracle, but do we believe in faith that that miracle is real? Can it happen? We want the victory before the battle. We want to claim it. But nobody told me I had to go through a battle. Got a battle. God often works the exact opposite way of what we think. Have you ever noticed that? It's almost as though, well, if I say this, God's going to tell me to do something else. God is a great God, and faith steps out first, okay? So your faith has to come first, and that's what happened here in this case with the Israelites and the priests. Before they could go in the war, they had to have the faith that God would deliver them. That's what he's asking you and I to do. When faith steps out first, then God moves. Amen. He's waiting for it. How many of you took swimming lessons when you were a little kid? Anybody? I can remember going to the swimming pool, and the first test that I had was to go up on the high dive board. And I looked at that thing, and going, you want me to go up there and jump into that water? I don't think so. And I went through lifeguard training, and I said, okay, Terry, you need to go up there in the high dive. And I can remember that first time. I'd get out there, you know. Doesn't look good. I think I'll go back down. And somebody's yelling, like, jump! Just jump! And you get off the board, and you hit the water, and the splash, it's like, I'm going to drown. And no, you pop back up. And you figured out that all you had to do is have the faith to do it. That's what God does. God requires courageous faith that acts upon his promises. So, if God has promised these things to you already, then he's acting you to have courageous faith. That's what courage is. That's what the whole message is today. It's about courage. Not just Joshua, but courage for you and I. We need to act upon his promises. Here's the next thing I want to talk about in our remaining time today. God requires courage to finish the mission. Joshua did not merely start well, he finished well. Read the whole book. Near the end of his life, he challenged the nation. And this is one of my favorite scriptures. When you walk into my house down in Eureka, the first thing that you will see right by the door is the verse from Joshua 24:15. Well, let's look at it. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I love having that right there at the doorway. It reminds me that anybody that comes into my home, I want them to know that as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. When we sit down for dinner, we will pray together. When we go to church, we will commune together. When you see my walk, I will not fear. I'll proclaim that I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. What a privilege it is to watch our grandchildren grow up and to be an example to them of our faith and our love and our devotion to God. Isn't that a beautiful thing? Looking at all the moms here and all the fathers in here there too. Watching not only your own children, but watch those grandchildren grow up. And to get those opportunities where you see their faith finally step into action. That's a beautiful thing. Amen? But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That statement required courage for Joshua. Israel was surrounded by pagan cultures in those times. You had the Hittites, the Amorites, the Whatchamamites. You had all these different tribes out there. They were all over the place. They were facing the giants, but they were all worshiping pagan idols. Sounds kind of familiar, doesn't it? Do we have a lot of pagan idols going on right now in our own world? Absolutely. Yet Joshua publicly, he declared his allegiance to God. Do you publicly declare your allegiance to God? Do I? Not enough. And I should. Look at Paul. Paul finished the same way, similar to what we saw in Joshua. In 2 Timothy 4:7, Paul says, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, and I have kept the faith. Amen. Starting is important, but let me share, finishing is essential. Get it? Starting is important, but finishing is absolutely essential. Keep going, Terry. I know you want to drop, but keep going. Keep running the race. It's tough, but I'm with you. Here's what God requires. God requires steadfast courage throughout our entire walk with Him. Steadfast. Stay the course. Follow me. Keep your eye on me. Steadfast. Faith in Him. Let's look at what some of the characteristics are of godly courage. Because this is really important. I love this scripture. God has godly courage is defined as he trusts, or you and I trust, in God's presence. Look at Isaiah 41:10. It's a very popular verse in the Bible. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. That's not just a statement. That is a promise that God has made. That's a promise. It's in His Word. So godly courage trusts in God's presence. That's one. Here's another characteristic. Godly courage obeys God's Word. Where's an example, Terry? Well, let's take James 1:22. But be doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Doers of the Word, not just hearers. Don't deceive yourself. Take action. Be doers of the Word. Here's another one. Godly courage depends on God's strength. Well, how do I get God's strength? Look at Philippians 4:13. Our brother mentioned this earlier. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen. It doesn't say some things. It says all things. Right, brother?
Right.
All things. That's a promise. That's a promise. Here's another thing. Godly courage refuses to quit. When all the chips are down, we're feeling the frustrations, don't quit, Terry. Don't give up. And look at the book of Galatians 6, verse 9. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Perseverance, persistent, walking the walk, walking in your faith constantly, day in and day out. As we begin today, and we talked about the story of Joshua, Joshua was a servant first, okay? Joshua was following one of the greatest heroes of the faith in Moses, and he's like, well, Moses, he gets to go into the promised land, I get that chance, but whoa, There's some big major problems here. We got to go in with all these tribes and all these things. To the mortal man, to you and I walking in there, we're looking, oh man, we're surrounded. How are we going to get through this? Joshua believed. He was faithful. He had courage. He had godly courage. Here's the conclusion. Joshua's courage did not come from self-confidence. It wasn't because, look at me, I'm a mighty man. I'm tough. I can go out there. I'm a warrior. It came from God confidence. He knew that his God was greater. He had total confidence. God repeatedly told him, look at Joshua 1:9, have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage, do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. He reminded him that I'm going to be with you. It's going to seem impossible, it's going to seem tough, and you need to remind your army and your people, you need to let them know that I'm with you wherever you go. The same God who was with Joshua is with you and I here today. He hasn't changed. He's the same yesterday, today, tomorrow, forever. He's unchanging. The same God who parted the Jordan can make a way where that seems there is no way. He can part it. He can get us across there. Do you believe that? And God is still looking for courageous men and women who will trust him, obey him, stand upon his word, and move forward in faith. Will you be one of them? Will you be one of them? Deuteronomy 31:6. Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them, for the Lord your God, he is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Amen. My friends, church family, today God is calling his people to courage. Not courage in ourselves. Not courage in government. Not courage in wealth and riches, but courage in the living God. And let's determine today, in Joshua 24:15, and if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose yourselves this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I'll ask you a question. If you had an opportunity to go back in time and do things all over again at certain moments in your life, would you do it? Would you have wanted to change some things? But we can't, can we? We can't go back and change what is in the past, but we can make a difference where we're going in the future. All the self-help books in the world cannot stand up to the Almighty God. You can go and you can watch a two-hour seminar. Somebody's going to tell you how to get wealth and keep it for the rest of your life. And you might get some great ideas in there, and you may become wealthy. I don't know. But then when the rains come and the storms and the floods, it's like building your life on sandcastles, and the sandcastles just get swept away. I used to think there was an American dream. When I was in school, I used to think, oh, the American dream. Wow, I can get a good education. I can go and get married. I can start saving for my retirement, and at 60 years of age, I can throw away the key and say, I'm not working in this place anymore. I'm going to relax. I'm going to do all those things I've always wanted to do. And I'm going to tell you something. It's like building your life on sandcastles. Because when the wind and the rain and the storms came, it got swept away. Where are you building your house? Are you building it on the rock? But are you building it with courage, godly courage? Are you focused that your courage comes from the promises of God and not you? That's the key. You can read a lot of stories about very famous people historically over time, not only in the Word of God, but in modern times. Great leaders, military minds, presidents, prime ministers, people that had a lot of gifts that fell because they didn't have a trust in God for the promises. Okay? You know what, one of the greatest things that I see right now is as we embark on our nation celebrating its 250th birthday this next Saturday, one of the greatest things that I see is right now there's a movement in our nation to return to God. I'm seeing it. Not just hearing it, I'm seeing it. And I think there is a remnant that have now chosen to say, we're going to be courageous. We're not going to stand in the shadows. We're going to proclaim that we are followers of Jesus Christ, and we refuse to serve your pagan gods, and we will proclaim the love of Jesus Christ in each and every one of our lives. I believe that that's what our nation needs right now. God is crying out, just like he did in 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name, you and I are called by his name. But do we believe that? Do we believe it enough that we want to reclaim our nation? That we finally have others wake up and understand that God is real. Hell is real. You don't want to go there. But you have a choice, and you have an option. So today, as we get ready to celebrate with our family and fireworks, let me tell you, there's more than fireworks. It's called being obedient to God's word. He's saying, return to me. I shared a message with you a few weeks back called Return to Me. This is exactly a sequel to that, because it takes courage, just like Joshua did, to trust in God. But with God, nothing is impossible. Everything is right in front of you. But will you trust him? Will you trust him today? Will you give him that extra, whatever it takes? Will you go and share this message to other people of what courage really is? Maybe they'll see it from a different light and understand the strength and the power that lives in you is the same power that rose Jesus Christ from the dead. Amen. That same resurrection power lives in each and every one of us. Isn't that a great feeling? What a sense of peace. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's pray.